Okay, well, let's thank you for sharing those things. And if you want to grab a Bible, if you haven't got a Bible and you want to grab a Bible, we're going to look in there. But I just want to say, I wouldn't, for me, this looking into communion has been a very important thing for me. I think as I've looked at looking in the early church, from day one, the early church put a huge emphasis on breaking bread together. And I would say this is possibly one of the most important teaching series I've ever done. And I've been doing this for quite a while now. So I just want to, as Daniel said, there's a lot going on in this meal. There's a lot going on. And I don't think every time we take communion, we're going to take that all in. But let's allow this not to just be a series that, okay, we move on and we'll go and do something. Not that I'm going to carry on teaching about it necessarily, but let's continue to dwell on some of these things and allow them to sink into us. Just like sometimes you need to digest a meal. Literally, it takes a while, doesn't it, to digest a meal. So, I just commend, let it sink in, and we'll continue. Maybe we'll just keep coming back to it. And if you want to listen to the box set, it's on our website, you know. Or on the podcast.
Very good.
Yeah. Or on your podcasting apps on your phones, all you modern people. So we're going to look at Luke 22 to conclude with. And as I said earlier, we're going to look at communion and the future. So Luke chapter 22 from verse 14. Verse 14 says, "When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, 'I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God.' After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you.'" So Jesus says, "Do this in remembrance of me." Do you remember that at the beginning of this series, we talked about communion and remembrance? Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And do you remember how we remember in communion? We remember in the sense that we don't just think about something in the dim and distant past and say, yeah, something a long time ago happened and I think it has something to do with today, maybe, I'm not quite sure. But we don't remember the good old days, but we actually bring the past into the present, and we remember it in the sense as if it is happening now, as if Jesus is with us and he's breaking this bread and he's saying these things to us, and we are his apostles and we are and his disciples, and we are sharing this meal with him now. So we're bringing the past into the present, and it's more than applying it to us, it's actually living it in us. It's a very unusual way. It will take some practice. If you're thinking, "Oh, gee, I don't know how to do that," it takes practice. I think it takes doing it every week and participating in it to allow that to happen. But remember, that's how we remember. And so Jesus says, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So don't forget to remember like that. But remembering in the past is something that we're kind of familiar with, yeah? You can probably say, "Do you remember what you had for breakfast this morning?" Or, "Do you remember what you did yesterday?" Most of us can't even remember those things, but that's the idea, that we remember the things in the past. However, Jesus not only calls us to remember the past and bring it into the present, but he tells us to remember the future as well. I like to think of it like this. He gets us to remember forwards as well as remember backwards. So Luke says this, that Jesus says, "I've eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." And it seems like Jesus has been waiting for this moment, like bursting with desire for this meal to happen. can't wait. There's certain members of my family that sometimes say, I just can't wait till... Can't wait. And you get this sense that his earthly ministry has come to a climax, this is what it's all about. And it's all described in this one meal. And you get this sense that this is the highlight Jesus has been waiting for. This is the meal that's going to sustain him for the eternal future until the climax of the future comes, until the fulfillment of the kingdom comes. And so Jesus makes this pledge and he says this, if I'm honest, something that I don't quite fully understand, but it is Jesus talking about these things. He says, he pledges, I'm not going to eat this again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. He's kind of giving us an assurance that God's kingdom will come. Otherwise, Jesus is going to be very hungry for the rest of eternity. Because it's like, I'm not going to eat this until the kingdom comes. So as we share this meal, we too, as well as looking back and remembering the past and bringing it into the present, we can look forward to God's great future and know that as we share this meal now, we know his kingdom is coming. And so it's a hope-filled meal. It's a meal full of hope for the future. And I think sometimes we just think it's all sin and it's about my terrible past. And yeah, there's bits of that, elements of that in that, yes. And we come and we get forgiveness, as we've said. But also there's great hope in this meal. There's a confidence that we can have that God is going to fulfill his commitments and he's going to fulfill his covenant promises, that the creation story is going to come to a good end. And we can remember forward in that communion that we're in the middle of that, and that future hope of resurrection and of new creation is coming. So we can remember forwards as well as remembering backwards. And it comes back to one of my old themes, that we're in the story of God. The story of God has a beginning, the past to us now. It has a middle, which is kind of where we're living in. And it has an end, which is the future. We're not in an endless cycle, because sometimes, particularly if you come every week to church and you think, the children probably think this, oh, here we go. He's going to do the talking thing again. And then we're going to do the communion thing again. I mean, I was there. Yeah. I was your age once, believe it or not. And believe it or not, the church I went to wasn't half as interesting as this church. But nevertheless, I want to encourage all of us that we're not just in this endless loop, in this like kind of infinity cycle. But actually, the meal gives us hope, as Jesus says, I'm not going to eat this again until the kingdom comes. But that's saying the kingdom is coming. We're not in an endless cycle. We're not on a treadmill to nowhere. We're heading to a fulfillment, a great conclusion. But God's kingdom comes, a new creation. And the scriptures and who can describe God's future? Difficult one. But the scriptures give us a little inkling. It speaks of where the wolf and the lamb will feed together. You get that sense of peace and unity and the struggling is gone. When all nations will gather together and worship and feast with God. When he will swallow up death forever, the Lord God will wipe away our tears from our face, from every face, and remove the disgrace of his people from the whole earth. It speaks of where justice is done, when all things are made right. Now, actually, maybe the future is something I want to talk about a bit more, and we'll maybe do another series on that. And I can't fully really go into it all today, but all that to say, as we share communion, let us know that we're held in his story. We call it history. His story. Where there is a past, where we are now, and there is a future where we're heading to. Somewhere in the middle. Can't tell you exactly where. You know, I can't get a GPS position on this one exactly. But God's past gives a meaning to our lives, doesn't it? Because in God's past, we know that there was one event where Jesus' death and resurrection overcomes sin and brings a forgiveness for sin and brings new life to us. But also God's future comes and brings our meaning to us now. His coming again, his new creation, his hope shapes who we are today. Because if we didn't have that hope, what's the point? But we do have that hope. So, looking in these verses here, Luke says, after taking the cup, he gave thanks and says, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And so he takes the actual elements of what we're eating and he uses them and he says, remember forwards. I remember forwards this because when you take this, remember, I'm not taking this again until the kingdom comes. And then he took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to them saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So he takes the bread and he remembers backwards. And so he brings it all together. So in this meal, the past and the future all come together. And Tom Wright, who I've quoted before in this series, if you know, one of my... I love reading Tom Wright. He says, in Jesus, God's future came rushing into the present to meet us. He describes it like you're on a train track and as if like this train from the future comes rushing towards you and brings you the future here as we share communion. I'll read you another verse from 1 Corinthians 11. It says this, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So in this one moment, as we share in a few moments' time, we will share communion and it holds together the one-off past. We remember the Lord's sacrificial atoning death, the forgiveness of sins, the new life. We proclaim the Lord's death and we also remember the great future until he comes. Until he comes, knowing that God's world will be remade in Jesus. He will come again. So through communion, the past and the future, they come rushing together into the now. So with Jesus, let's eagerly, eagerly look forward to taking this with thanksgiving and hope, knowing that we're part of God's story, that every time we share this together, we are part of his story that has a beginning, a middle, and an end. So, come to the end of the series, as there's a lot more we could say. Believe it or not, there's just so much more could be said about this, and maybe we'll say it from time to time. But for now, let us know the eternal Christ in through the bread and the cup. And as we share today, let us eagerly desire that Christ come, and that actually there will be a fulfillment of this kingdom meal. So what we're going to do now, I'm going to just take a moment and we'll just allow us just to be quiet and just to bring our confession before God and just confess our sins before God. We're going to then say the Lord's Prayer together.